2020 is shaping up to be a pretty interesting year for the auto industry. Among the most anticipated new models include several electric vehicles, including from manufacturers you may not even have heard of. In fact, the Wall Street Journal called 2020 a turning point for e-cars. But there's also a lot of talk about non-electric vehicles as well. And if you're not set on having the latest and greatest set of wheels, there are deals to be had on 2019 models. Jamie Page Deaton is the executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. Jamie, nice to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. So you are following these things closely. Do you also think this is going to be the year of the electric car?
Well, it depends on what you mean by year of the electric car. This is the year where a lot of electric cars are going mainstream. But if you're looking, you know, to look outside your window in December of 2020, you're not going to see a lot of electric cars on the street because it takes a while, even as a lot of car companies are introducing these models, it just takes a while for consumers to adopt them. So this is the year that they're really entering the mainstream, but it's not the year that you're going to see, you know, the highways choked with electric cars.
Well, do we have a good sense of how many people are already driving electric vehicles?
It's very few. If you look at electrified vehicles, which is electric cars as well as gas electric hybrids, they make up less than 3% of the new car market. And so fully electric vehicles make up an even smaller percentage of that new car market. Now that's starting to shift like very, very slowly. We're seeing the numbers move up, but there are a number of factors that hold back the widespread adoption of electric vehicles. Number one is, you know, price. Number two is the infrastructure. So there's not a really great charging infrastructure for a lot of electric car owners. And then number three is right now it's, you know, related to price. Gas prices are relatively low. So there's not a lot of incentive for people to adopt an electric car unless they're really committed to, you know, reducing their carbon footprint and driving clean.
And that infrastructure issue is interesting because it's kind of a chicken and egg, right? They're not going to build a huge infrastructure for being able to plug in electric cars all over the place if there aren't electric cars all over the place, but people aren't going to buy them until there is, right?
Exactly. And it's kind of funny now, if you look at the majority of electric car owners, you know, they actually have a second car as well. And that's related to the infrastructure. Now there are, you know, you can drive across country in an electric car and you'd be able to charge up. But you have to realize that the charging stations are going to vary in terms of, you know, how quickly they can charge your car. You know, some cars will get charged as quickly as 20 minutes. But if you're in a rush and you show up and there's two cars in front of you in line, well, then you're looking at an hour to get your car fully charged. And, you know, you can charge an electric car and, you know, at home if you have a garage. But that, unless you're going to really go slowly, you know, you can't really plug them into a regular outlet unless you have, you know, 10, 20 hours to devote to charging. So if you put in a charging station, that's another investment. And so there are some hurdles to adoption. But what we're really seeing with electric car buyers now is they tend to be people who have a garage and have a second car. So they can use their electric car for day-to-day use, you know, commuting, things like that. But then for longer trips, they have a gasoline car, so they don't have to worry so much about, you know, range anxiety and running out of juice.
And a lot of the well-known car manufacturers are venturing into or already have put out electric vehicles. But as we said, there are some startups that some people may be hearing about for the first time, such as Rivian, which is coming out with the first major electric pickup sold in the U.S. Tell us about that company.
So Rivian is very interesting because, you know, it's always, it's going to be compared to Tesla because that's the electric car maker that most people are familiar with. Tesla has a very Silicon Valley, very kind of a software-oriented approach to car. Rivian was started by car industry veterans. So it's a little bit more, you know, run like a traditional car company. But Rivian has had, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in investment from companies like Amazon. So they are doing really well on the venture capital front. And their cars, they have a truck and an SUV that they'll be bringing out this year. And while they're going to be a little bit expensive, I think the estimated price, you know, is north of $70,000 for sure. These cars and trucks are just so cool because they do some really neat tricks. On Twitter a couple days ago, Rivian was showcasing what they call a tank turn because on their truck, each of the wheels can turn independently, which means the truck basically spins in place like a tank. So if, you know, you have trouble parking, that's a really great maneuver to have in addition to to having, you know, an electric powertrain.
It might be cheaper to have someone teach you how to park, but
exactly.
Actually, we asked people on the Ideas Network Facebook page what they were thinking about for possible new vehicles in 2020, and Jesse wrote, the Rivian R1T looks so good. It's the only vehicle I'd consider switching to. Now, who wants to give me $100,000? So it is.
Exactly.
It's definitely for people who are comfortable with a certain price range.
Yeah, but you have to remember too. Now, I mean, $100,000, that is a lot of money to pay for a truck. But the vast majority of trucks sold in the United States to private buyers, not to fleet buyers, but they tend to be put out like luxury cars. So if you're looking at like an F-150 or a Ram 1500 or a Chevy Silverado, the majority of their sales are north of $60,000. So a lot of truck buyers are treating their purchases like luxury cars and getting them outfitted like luxury cars. So for a portion of truck buyers, that Rivian's not so far out of reach.
We are talking right now with Jamie Page Deaton. She's executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. We're talking about what to look for in cars in 2020. And also on the Ideas Network Facebook page, John wrote, definitely buying or leasing an all-electric plug-in vehicle in 2020. The technology alone is far advanced over gas guzzlers. And is that true? Are they making some big strides in the technology in those electric cars?
I mean, yes, they are. You're getting better range and you're getting it at a lower cost. But at the same time, you know, when you come down to it, both a gas car and an electric car will get you from point A to point B. I think, though, what John's talking about, though, is an electric car will do it much more cleanly because, you know, it's got a much smaller carbon footprint, particularly if you get your electricity from a clean source. So if you have solar, if you have wind energy, or if, you know, at the very least, you're not getting your electricity from a coal-fired plant, you are lessening your carbon footprint by driving an electric car. The other thing that I think a lot of people don't realize with an electric car is the performance is actually very satisfying. I think there's this idea, probably because people are used to gas electric hybrids, that an electric car is going to be slow and uncomfortable, but that's really not the case. Tesla's done a lot to dispel this kind of misconception by showcasing, you know, their launch mode and their ludicrous mode. But really, because an electric car has all the torque on demand, and that torque is what gives you power when you're going from a stop. On a gasoline engine, it has to rev up to give you maximum torque and maximum power. But on an electric car, the second you touch the accelerator, you're taking off at full power. And it is really, really fun to drive an electric car as a performance car. And that's where we're actually seeing a lot of manufacturers move into the electric realm, you know, where you have Porsche putting out the Taycan, which is, you know, their new all-electric model, which is an incredible performance car. You have Audi putting out electric cars. And then you have, you know, GM announcing that Cadillac is going to move to all electric cars with a performance bent. That's one area where I think a lot of consumers might not be aware of the benefits of an electric car. But once you get behind the wheel and you hit, you know, not the gas, you hit the accelerator. It really comes clear, like, wow, their electric cars have a lot to offer.
Well, and that's interesting that you said that, because Ford is putting out a Mustang electric crossover, and that's Mustangs are kind of, you know, the ultimate Mustang muscle car.
Exactly. Now, this is something, you know, the Ford Mustang Mach-E, which they debuted at the LA Auto Show this year, you know, this is something that I think put a lot of, you know, Mustang fanatics in a difficult position, because this is a four-door crossover that Ford's calling a Mustang. Now, the Mustang is, you know, a two-door muscle car, sports car, and that's clearly not what the Mach-E is, except when it come down to the performance numbers. I mean, in a straight line, this thing is going to eat, you know, the lunch of any gasoline-powered Mustang, or most gasoline-powered Mustangs, and it's going to do it with a comfortable back seat and a usable cargo area. So that's one that I think a lot of people within the industry are really excited to get behind the wheel of. And, you know, I saw it at the LA Auto Show, and it was just a beautiful car, and it made me think, all right, this is an area where you can get, you know, a number of cars in one package, where you can get a crossover, where you can get a performance car, and you can get an EV from a manufacturer that has, you know, a track record, that has a dealer network that can support you. So that has a lot of, you know, upside for a lot of buyers.
And we talked about price when we were kind of comparing electric pickups to standard pickups. In general, what can we expect to pay for a new electric vehicle when comparing it to a gas-powered vehicle of basically the same class?
Well, you're going to pay more for the most part for an electric vehicle. Now, electric vehicles, depending on which manufacturer they're from, you can lower the price a little bit with tax rebates and tax incentives. So, for example, Mini has a new electric, electric Mini coming out. And this is a subcompact car. It's very small. And Minis tend to run anywhere between up to $40,000 because, again, like this is a sub brand from BMW. So it's more luxurious than you're going to get from, your basic Hyundai. But the Mini Electric, which you would expect to be at the high end of the price range, when you take into account all of the tax rebates and things, you can get it for under $20,000. So it really depends on what model you're looking at, and what rebates and incentives are available in terms of taxes, from the manufacturer. I would also say too, though, as we mentioned earlier, electric cars and hybrids are a very, very small part of the new car market. So that's one area where, again, because they're not super popular with consumers as a whole, you can get some incredible deals. In the DC area, the Hyundai Ioniq EV was leasing for $79 a month this past month, which is incredible. So you can find some really, really great deals by looking at these electric cars simply because they're not popular, and you can get all the benefits while, saving yourself some money at the dealership.
That's very surprising, I have to say. We're talking about what the automobile industry may have in store for us in 2020. Jamie Page Deaton is with us. She's the executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? What kind of car, truck, or maybe SUV are you considering? Are you interested in an electric vehicle? And what questions do you have about what's coming out in 2020? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're picking up the conversation on which cars to keep an eye on in 2020. Jamie Page Deaton is our guest. She's the executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is there a particular vehicle or type of vehicle you're thinking about buying in the new year? What features are most important to you? And do you already have an electric vehicle, or are you still not convinced? What questions do you have about what's coming out in 2020? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And let's go to the phones, and Julie in Menasha is up. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I was wondering, If you get an electric car, you have a garage, what is the initial investment for charging, and how does that affect your utility bill?
Great. Thanks for that call, Julie. And Jamie?
That is a really great question. So how much it costs is going to depend, because a lot of areas have, even individual municipalities will have incentives to get you to put these types of charging stations in your home. But generally speaking, you're looking at anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 to put one in. When it comes down to your actual electric bill, though, it's like adding another refrigerator to your family is how it's basically yeah. how it comes out. And on a per mile basis, it is still much less expensive than gasoline. But where you're really going to see the money pay off is, in a couple of areas. One is if you're in an area where you have super cheap electricity, that can help. If you charge your car during non-peak hours, and a lot of electric cars have settings, where they have a smartphone app where you can plug your car in when you come home from work, but then say, don't start charging until we hit non-peak hours where the electricity rates are lower. So that's a great way to save money. Because again, compared to that refrigerator, which is running all the time, only charging your car on non-peak hours will save you a little bit. And I have yet to see a gas station that says, hey, you can save, 5 cents off a gallon of gas if you come in at non-peak hours. And then if gas prices go up, you're protected from that. And you'll start to see, even on a per mile basis, that cost of driving an electric car will be, that much lower than driving a gasoline powered car. So there is some initial upfront investment, but look around within, your county, your state, and your town, because there might might be some surprising incentives that can give you a break on that upfront investment of putting in a charging station.
Thanks for that call, Julie. And let's stay on the electric car topic with Kim in Monroe. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
So I have a green business called the Green Goats, where I rent out goats for weed control. So I felt kind of guilty driving around in my big pickup truck. And my mom is 90 years old, so to drive my pickup truck to go see her is $45 in gas.
Wow.
So the goats had a good year, so the goats bought me a Chevy Bolt, which is all electric, and now it costs me about $4 in electricity instead of $45 in gas. And that means I can go see my mom whenever I have the time rather than having to, you know, calculate the cost in my head.
That's a great comparison to share with us, Kim. So instead of 40-something dollars, about $4, that seems like a pretty good savings, Jamie.
Yeah, that's an excellent savings. And the Bolt is a great choice for an electric car. I mean, I think when people think about, you know, Chevrolet, they think of either the Corvette or they think of the Silverado. But Chevy's been making electrified cars, and the Bolt is one of the first kind of mass market electric cars that they brought out. It was North American Car of the Year a couple years ago. And it really is just a fun car to drive. And again, it's, I will say, as great of a car as it is, it's not particularly popular. So you can get a deal on it almost any time that you go shopping for a new car. So if you're thinking of an electric car, go take a look at the Bolt.
Thanks for that call, Kim. And let's go to Chuck in Madison next. Hi, Chuck.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. What do you have to share?
Good. Well, I am driving a Nissan Leaf electric right now as we speak. I just listened to your broadcast. In Madison, Wisconsin, there are tons of free chargers at restaurants, grocery stores. I'm going to one right now. On this car, if I was paying for electricity, it's about two and a half cents a mile.
Great. That's great to know. So, Jamie, does that kind of fit in with what you've been seeing as far as cost per mile?
It does. And I would say, too, you know, I think it's great that Madison has all the charging stations. And Chuck is pointing out a great benefit for a lot of electric car owners is that in a lot of places, the charging stations are free, at least for the first hour or two, because a lot of businesses will put them out because they want you to come in and shop there while your car is charging. But I would also say, too, you know, Madison is a college town. I used to live just outside of Iowa City, so there was a great charging network there. But when you get into other areas, the charging network can be a little bit where there's, you know, those areas where there's lower adoption, the charging network can be a little bit thinner, and you really do have to plan your routes. So it really comes down to, you know, if you're going to save a lot of money, like Chuck pointed out, you know, 2 cents a mile, that's great. You know, a lot of gas cars aren't going to be able to meet that per mile cost. But, you know, if you're concerned about range anxiety or anything like that, check out the charging network in your area. There are a ton of smartphone apps that can help you find chargers in your area. So you'll know if you've got, you know, the ability to plug in or, you know, look into plugging in at home.
Thanks for that call. And let's go now to Gary in Sheboygan. Hi, Gary.
Hello. I'm wondering if they would make an electric car that's a four-wheel drive. I'm up in like the snow area here. And, you know, I'm wondering if it's just front-wheel drive or if it's four, you know, if we could get it in a four-wheel drive.
Great. Thanks, Gary. I want to make sure Jamie has a chance to respond.
Yeah, not four-wheel drive yet, unless you're going for that Rivian truck. But a number of them do have all-wheel drive. And I have to say, in my experience living in Iowa, living in New Hampshire, front-wheel drive plus a good set of snow tires will do almost as well as four-wheel drive in a lot of places. So even if you're going for a front-wheel drive electric car, just put on some snow tires and see how you do. You might be surprised.
Thanks for that call, Gary, and keep watching. I'm sure eventually it'll get there. Wyatt in Viroqua is up next. Hi, Wyatt.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to comment that I have a Tesla a Model 3, and it's the all-wheel drive version, and it is awesome in the snow. I probably put 19,000 miles on it this year, going all over Wisconsin. And if you use the PlugShare app, it's easy to find charging destination chargers. We were just in Fish Creek and Bailey's Harbor. All of them are free, so which means that the cost of driving your vehicle is nearly free. And, and the cost of installing a charger at home, you can do something pretty simple as just using the your stove or your dryer outlet. I have another one installed for like $65 by electrician. And then the Tesla charger is $500 in a couple hours. So you can have it installed well under $1,000 and have maintenance free. I mean, you have to remember you have no oil changes, right? Your brakes last significantly larger. I have a friend who has over 100,000 miles on his Tesla and has not had to replace the brakes once.
And, well, I have to leave it there. We're running short on time, Wyatt. So it sounds like there might be some workarounds even for that upfront cost of getting the infrastructure set up.
There are. And I think, you know, Wyatt's point, though, just so you know that, you know, the Tesla is at the forefront of putting in charging infrastructure for their vehicle owners. Not all electric cars will work with Tesla chargers. So while you're looking at the smartphone apps, then looking for chargers, you need to make sure that you're going to find one that'll work with your electric car.
Thanks for that information, Wyatt. And Jared in Oregon asked if the Volkswagen Buzz is still going to happen. He heard about that as an electric car option.
You know, this is a funny thing because Volkswagen has really made a push into the EV area. And it seems like every car show, they're debuting a new electrified and electric concept. But the Buzz, like nothing's come to market yet. And so the Buzz is one. It looks like a retro Volkswagen van. I absolutely love this car. I want it to come to market because I want to buy it. and yet it's still not for sale. So I think it's supposed to come to market in 2022 because Volkswagen, like I said, they've been doing a lot of talk about electric vehicles. And outside of the electric Golf, really none of their concepts have really made it to market yet. So just keep watching this space because, you know, like you, I really want to get inside that Buzz. It looks so cool and so much fun.
So, Jamie, we are just about out of time. We didn't get to any of the other topics because there was so much interest in the electric vehicle topic. Will you come back with us really soon so we can talk about SUVs and all kinds of other stuff?
Yes, absolutely.
That would be great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and we will have you back on soon for the rest of the story.
Thanks so much and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Jamie Page Deaton is the executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. We talked with her about what we can expect from the automobile industry in the new year. We focused on electric cars. There was a lot of interest. We didn't get to a lot of other topics, so we will have her back soon to cover the rest.